nowadays it's different, really. Total different world from those days when I was young. If you are running practices, like small practices, I can say it is quite next to impossible to survive.
Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
I am still catching my breath. It's a fun-filled afternoon in a ball pit here in Shenzhen, China. There's this trend of indoor malls having these massive playscapes where you got to pay a lot of money for you and your kids to go and jump in plastic balls and slides and all kinds of other traps and kind of crazy little things. And I was pushing a banana boat around a ball pit with like 10 kids on it, and just the joys of being a parent. Let's just keep it at that. Also, a quick reminder, it's a bit less than a month away. We're going to have a full day business trip on Friday, October 21st in Hong Kong, covering Chinese e-commerce via Hong Kong. So we got some pretty cool companies to see and topics to discuss. If you're interested, check it out at globalfromasia.com/HKTrip. Also, another quick one, I am going to try out live radio. It seems like the new thing is Facebook Live and all these other live kind of radio shows. So I'm brave enough to try in less than 2 days from today. When we publish this, we're going to have Global from Asia live talk. It's at globalfromasia.com/talk. You can learn about how to subscribe and listen in. And it'll be about a 30 to 45 minute show live streaming covering trends and news in Asia business and other topics that we think is worth mentioning. So you can tune in and chat with me live as well as a few other guests. We're going to try to keep it interactive and fun at 9 p.m. Thursday night, Hong Kong time. Try to do that weekly, see how it goes. And I got a lot of good feedback on last week's equity crowdfunding episode with Nathan Rose. And as always, I'm experimenting with different topics and themes. We did some earlier and a couple months ago with Philippines corporate setup and Thailand company setup. And some people were interested in Taiwan, and keep them coming. We're always listening to everybody's feedback. So today we are back in Hong Kong and we have a fun story. I deal a lot with Hong Kong accountants and CPAs all the time. And I've gotten to know Joseph Ning a bit, and we had a great calls, and he's given me some great stories about the history of his firm and Hong Kong business and agencies in general and changing times in Hong Kong. So there's lots of different stories today. And I'm really excited because, you know, this is something you can't really find much anywhere on the internet. And he's given us the old school advice and stories. So let's listen in. Also, don't forget that we have the show notes and everything we mentioned at globalfromasia.com/episode142. 142 shows, guys. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. We are in, is this Shanghai?
Shanghai.
Yeah, Shanghai. And in Joseph Ning's office. Thanks for being here, Joseph.
Yeah. Hi, Mike. Yeah, nice to have you here.
Yeah. Thanks for having
me
over.
Nice to have you here. And I know outside is really hot weather.
It seems like August, I think, is the hottest month in here in the South.
Yeah.
So it's been great to we had a phone call earlier, so it's great to meet and do this interview today. And so you are a certified CPA in Hong Kong and you're practicing accountant and you have many decades of experience. And a very nice office here. So do you mind maybe giving your listeners a quick introduction of yourself?
Well, I'm just an ordinary man, getting old, being young. And I started the accountancy in 1969 at that time was called Lopingham Matthews. Actually, it's PricewaterhouseCooper now.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was 69, July the 2nd. I still remember.
Great.
That's how I started.
Okay.
And as a trainee, everybody like that. And nobody jump into a higher level. And you must climb from the basic.
Okay.
That's how I got started.
Great. And then this is your own firm now. And how long have you had your own firm?
Well, I think it's next to 40 years.
Okay.
Or maybe more, because those days, life is not as easy, and we have to start from part-time practice. You know, part-time practice meaning daytime you have an employment, and but you still keep a practice yourself until it grows.
Ah,
then
I
it
see.
Comes out. And plus those periods, they could be longer. Could be longer, yeah.
Very interesting. So today I thought, you know, you had when we had a call, you were talking a lot about your experiences in Hong Kong business and some Chinese business. So I know listeners are always curious to hear different perspectives. And how did you started part-time while you were a trainee and how was that getting started then?
Those days difficult, different, totally different from today. Life is different, and you may say easier to succeed if happened today. It could be more difficult because of the keen competition in society and so forth. Just like an ordinary young man, start from a job, you know, getting job, getting a license, and accumulating client from 10 plus 10 plus 10, and then until you find it's enough to pay for expenses and you come out yourself.
Right.
Like that. Everybody like that.
Mm. Okay. And so, yeah, like you're saying, it's definitely more, more competitive now, or the climate has totally changed. And I know when we were talking, and I've seen it too, is like mainland China is going global. They're coming in Hong Kong, registering Hong Kong companies and doing business around the world. So you must have seen a lot of changes since 1969.
Yeah. Those days are totally different. We never think about client from China. We never. Because those days, China was closed. Closed. It's not easy for us to go into China. Sometimes, as a joke, some friends from Europe, for example, to come to visit me in Hong Kong, clients, I will drive to new territories, to one of the telescope or monoscope, say, put a coin there and say, wow, that is Red China. I said, oh, Red China. Actually, it's overlooking Shenzhen.
Wow, okay.
And then they find a very enjoyment. Wow, I have seen China, you know, because it was closed.
Wow.
So we never talk about a client who will come from China. Impossible.
Amazing.
Impossible. So we are doing international clients. At those days, we line up with a group of international accountancy. And so we have clients refer from north, south, east, west, and all countries. And most of them, they come, they use Hong Kong companies as a tax haven. As long as they don't live here, as long as they don't do business here, they can accumulate profits in their Hong Kong company and report to the Inland Revenue saying that I earn X million, but doesn't mean have to pay tax because Hong Kong tax is on territorial basis. So yep. As long as your income is earned outside, or if you are rendering service, your services are rendered outside Hong Kong, you have to pay no tax. You pay no tax, that doesn't mean you don't have to report. You still have to conduct audit. You still have to file tax return until they give you an offshore status, saying the company now is offshore
yep.
from the tax angle. And so we're doing that kind of job from the very start.
Okay.
Not from China, but from all nearly globally, all country. And by and by, when China was opening up, and a lot of international clients would like to go into China to venture, trying to sign up agreements there. And then, for example, Singapore client, so close. They would call me or telex me at those days and saying that I'm coming over day after tomorrow. Can you set up a company for me under this name? Or get me any company, any name. I want to carry the seal and the rubber chop into China for signing an agreement. So they stop by. Some of them, they don't even overnight. They will meet me in the airport.
Wow.
I keep the company, then they go.
Wow.
And this is how. And that's why in China, from the statistic, Chinese statistic, they say, wow, huge investment from Hong Kong investing in China. But actually, it is not true because the investment is from the Hong Kong companies. But not necessarily owned by Chinese, Hong Kong Chinese. It's owned by Singaporean, Australian, American, but they come here to use a Hong Kong company to invest in China.
Makes sense. Yeah, but that's always been the advantage of a Hong Kong company is its bridge between the East and in the West. You know, you're right next door to mainland China and, you know, the British influence and the legal structures and English language. So it's always been a good advantage for people to do business here.
Yeah, yes, that's true. It's really international. And only until, say, 15 years back, 10, 15 years back, China becoming opening up and stronger and stronger. And so many of them, especially now, encouraging Chinese people to invest overseas. And so when now it's the reverse. A lot of more Chinese people who come here to establish Hong Kong company to invest overseas or even invest back China to use a Hong Kong company as a vehicle,
true,
as an investment vehicle.
Yeah.
So this is a trend increasing every day.
Very cool. So I know when we talked to you, you've had an office in Beijing you've tried different angles to service clients there or be in Beijing, but it's not there now. But I liked your story of how you kind of...
As a Hong Kong accountant operating in China, there are difficulties because we are not China accountants. We are Hong Kong accountants. So actually, legally, we can do nothing in China. You cannot certify account. You cannot fulfilling tax return on behalf of client. Those are the jobs of the Chinese client, Chinese accountants, rather. So when we are there, what are we doing? What are we doing? We're doing most of the sewaida, the involving investment overseas. Sewaida just involve international kind of things. Share listing overseas, including in Hong Kong, share listing in Australia, in Singapore, including migration, outside migration to Australia, especially to Australia. They are really keen to have Hong Kong accountants to do the audit or the special purpose report of the enterprise.
Okay,
and they have their own rules and regulations and guidelines for the accountants to follow to check what they have, what they do not have, you know, and before they can make judgment on the case. And so we were there, and on this overseas listing, migration, and for me, I have another business to do is on education.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was the chief rep of Australian National Institute of Accountant for 7 years in China, Australian, and we do the accountancy education in China.
Okay, and then your son, I like this part. We talked a little bit about your son, and I have a son now, 2 years old, so it's a little bit early for me. But of course, I think a lot of fathers always hope that their sons can help them in their business. And so he had help for a little while, or was he?
Like you, like most fathers. And when he was a young boy, I like to fly with him as far as possible to even for meetings. And at one time in Manila, he was so small. I put him on the table and listened to our discussions. So, of course, he couldn't follow and he fell asleep. So, but get him, his importance, he was feeling that, I attend meeting, you know, he feel proud. But actually, he didn't follow what you say and fell asleep. And after that, he was educated in UK, in England, until he's graduated from university. Then he lived 5 years in Malaysia. After that, I just about set up my office in Beijing. And then he volunteered to be my chief rep there.
Awesome.
Then I say, okay, then if you don't mind, if you like, you can experience. That is a really right choice, I find. Like your choice.
Yeah.
Very, very right choice. Because as at the age of 13, he studied in London, in England. Actually, he is more English speaking than anyone, but he chose to be in China.
Wow.
And start from zero, build up friendship, build up, you know, connections. And then until the time, because I was doing migration audits and all those, and I getting more and more clients already moving to live in Australia. So I was set up a small office in Australia to give them service. And I sent him to Australia from Beijing.
Okay.
To work there. But in Australia, nobody can be accepted. You must get a visa. So he still had to apply for a visa. But luckily, he was educated in accountant in UK. And, and that was under skilled migration. And he got it, the visa after 1 year.
All right.
And then there, he worked a year or a little bit more. He resigned for me. He said, oh, "Father, your business too small. You know, I'm too much of my time doing nothing." Mm. So he got his own job. Now he, and until now he's been in property development.
Cool.
Property development in partnership with one of the Chinese group.
Wow.
Chinese group, and he's doing more than this, but too complicated for me.
That's cool. So must be proud.
So now he's not no longer with me in the business.
Okay.
He's independent in Australia. He's flying between Australia and China now every month, flying there and wow. Stop by Hong Kong to see us.
That's great.
So this is a big story about my son.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So then Beijing office was closed, but I think you still made good, the real estate, right? Did really well? Oh, or?
Yeah, I have no choice. And then after he moved to Australia, and I have to be the chief rep. As a chief rep, you must be there to sign the tax clearance form once every month. So I find tired. So I give up. I give up the office there and I sold the office premises. And made some profit. That was out of the market,
yeah,
the
sure.
Property it's, market.
It's still going up, I think. It's getting crazy. We're talking now, like your son's going between Australia and China. There's still people setting up companies in Hong Kong. You know, a lot of listeners are, you know, Westerners trying to enter the Chinese market or selling globally from Hong Kong. What kind of opportunities have you seen now between like Hong Kong, China, and the global markets? You're mentioning maybe Chinese going overseas or?
Yeah, actually, I do service both sides. Chinese going out of China through Hong Kong into internationally to do investment. Or no matter they through migration or through overshare listing, they leave China and reside in other country. I also service clients from the other direction and to go into China as well. Yeah.
So I know the market's changed so many times since you've been in the business. What do you see the current environment as with all the clients you're working with or the market news you're reading? Like maybe listeners, maybe the young, maybe in their 20s and they're entrepreneurs and they're trying to decide next business 10, 20 years from now. What would you tell them?
Oh, yeah. You mean to tell my friends or
your friends.
Younger generations?
Yeah, younger generations.
Oh, I don't know. You want the question from my heart. nowadays, it's different, really. A total different world from those days when I was young. Now it's totally different. I have enjoyed very good time as a professional man, especially under the British rules, colonial rule. And professionals, they can charge high fee,
mm-hmm.
very high fee. And insufficiency of professionals, At my time, I was only less than 1,000 accountants. Less than, I think only 20% are practicing. So because of scarcity, you know, not enough accountants, so becoming so everybody very very much respect a qualified accountant. Some they practice even without a license. You know that a lot of people they don't have a license, but they know all the rules, they know everything, and so they have a handful of clients and come to bargain with you and say, "Oh, can you put a signature here?" And then I give you some sharing.
Got it.
So those days, you have to, because not everybody's so easy to know an accountant yourself. And so those were the days that I survived, I lived. Wow. But now it's different, you know, when you are on a bus, you say, a CPA, please stand up. I think 1/10 of them stand up. They are CPA. So much so. So when the number grows, definitely it's not easy for them to survive. Not easy for them to survive. And especially nowadays, if you are running practices, like small practices, from small, very small, I can say it is quite next to impossible. Next to impossible to survive. It's too competitive. Too competitive.
Got it.
So life is changing.
What kind of risks do you see with business in Hong Kong, maybe in the future? Sometimes listeners or friends ask me, you know, mainland China is going global and political changes. I don't want to get so political, but do you think like a Westerner having a Hong Kong company now is still going to be the same for the long term? Or
I think Hong Kong, the economically, is still benefit to come, I mean, Westerners to come to Hong Kong and then from Hong Kong jump into China.
Yeah,
that is very, very, very wise, because Hong Kong, you can, like a place you can rest a bit, you know, after.
It's like true. That's like me.
Too long in China. Oh, cannot breathe. Then you come here, breathe.
Yeah.
Then go back again.
Yeah.
Something like that. Not to say Westerners. Even you ask me the questions about the younger people, younger generation in Hong Kong, young guys, after the university studies. It's a pity. It's a pity. I don't know if you believe it or not. Not all of them know many things about China. Like you see the Occupy Central and all this, you know, they are so much against Chinese, which is, I'm not talking about politics here.
Yeah, sure, I know.
You have to understand China, understand what they need you, and then you help them what they don't have. Then there's opportunity for you. But without exploring yourself into the country, that means you don't know what they need. You don't know what they need, then you can't find anything you can help them. Then where comes the money? So young people, I think they should, as far as possible, spend more time, look for more opportunities to find out how China is.
Okay. This very cool. I like that advice too. Yeah, I think you got to embrace it, right? You can't run from it, and you need to see the opportunities. So thank you so much for coming on the show, Joseph. How can people find your firm and you?
How can? Oh.
We have your website, or you can, I can put it on the show, on the website. I'll link to it on the show notes, but if you want to share it, your website or any other ways people could contact you.
You mean www.jnc-cpa.com.hk is my website.
Okay.
Otherwise, you look for Mike.
Yeah, sure. We can connect you and in your great office here too. So, all right. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Joseph.
Nice talk to you, Mike.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Very cool to get Joseph on the show. he hadn't heard of a podcast was before. And I explained to him his internet radio, but that's what I think we're trying to do here. Get some shows that you can't find anywhere else on the internet and get some really good insights about business here in Hong Kong and other parts of Asia. There's not always Skype, and we were in his office face to face with just the gear, the headsets, and talking old school Hong Kong business. And I don't want to get political on this show, even though we're already blocked in China. I think mostly people can't access in China, but it does have to be mentioned. Wall Street Journal just put over the weekend a really good piece about how things are really changing in Hong Kong as mainland China kind of gets more and more involved. I will link the Wall Street Journal article in the show notes for those that want to read it. So Hong Kong is a great place, and let's hope it stays great and competitive and different of place for us all around the world. That's all I got this week, guys. See you in a week for the next interview show, or live in a couple of days for the news and trends. So I'm also going to use the same channel. So we're going to record that live show and put it on this same channel. I hope that's not annoying. I don't know. Wasn't sure to make a new channel. So we'll have this news and updates coming on the same stream. I hope. Technically, hopefully it's possible. So take care. Enjoy your week and keep on rocking. Bye-bye.
To get more info about running an international business, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.